What's up, sunshine? Hope you're having an awesome day. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10, and I have just 10 minutes to give you today's top stories, so let's get right to it. We begin in Paris, where a high-profile heist has rocked the world's most visited museum, the Louvre. French officials say a crew of thieves broke into the museum's Apollo Gallery on Sunday, making out with priceless pieces of jewelry. Authorities say the highly coordinated robbery lasted just 7 minutes, and the thieves used everything from a handheld saw to blow torches, even motorcycles, to escape. And they did it all in broad daylight. They struck just after the museum opened to the public. Our Melissa Bell is at the Louvre for us with a report. Hello, Melissa.
The manhunt continues for the four robbers believed to have been involved by French authorities in what's been described by the French press as the heist of the century. It was on Sunday morning at about 9:30 that they made their way up to that top floor window using a mechanical ladder mounted on a truck. They used very rudimentary equipment, things like an axle grinder, a blowtorch, to make their way in through that broken window you can see into what is the Apollo Gallery that houses some of France's crown jewels. As they left, the entire operation lasted just 7 minutes. They dropped the crown of Princess Eugenie, the wife of Napoleon III, making off with eight other pieces of jewelry on motorcycles down this quay of the Seine River. Now, those pieces of jewelry of inestimable cultural value. We're talking about the brooches, the tiaras, the necklaces, the earrings worn by some of France's queens in the 19th century. For now, we've been hearing from some French authorities, one French senator in particular, who was asking whether it was even possible that these robbers were still in France. It is entirely possible, she suggests, that they've fled. It is entirely possible as well that these jewels will ultimately be melted down to be sold separately, the gold on one hand, the precious gems on the other. This is the worst case scenario for French authorities who just want to get their hands back on these cultural national treasures.
Hindus around the world are celebrating Diwali. The festival of light began yesterday, but the world is a bit more conscious of the environment nowadays, and there's one Diwali tradition that's undergoing some changes. CNN's Paulo Sandoval has more.
Diwali, the festival of lights, is an iconic Indian holiday, celebrated by the lighting of lamps, big family dinners, and in some places, setting off firecrackers, or crackers, as they're called in India. Vendors in New Delhi, they are stocked up with all types of illuminations to mark the occasion, which symbolizes the triumph of light over darkness. But some residents are worried that India's persistent pollution will once again put a damper on the festivities.
I think we should not burn crackers, but rather spend a healthy and wealthy Diwali. The less the pollution, the better it is for us.
The air quality index in the country's capital has been hovering at levels considered poor or very poor ahead of the holiday. And each year, the smog gets worse around this time because of crop burning and colder temperatures, which trap pollutants in the air. There are bans on traditional firecrackers in New Delhi to try to reduce pollution levels. But recently, the Indian top court permitted the use of so-called green crackers for a limited time during Diwali. Some residents say it brings some of the joy back to the festival.
It's a good order. Every year, children celebrate Diwali with a lot of restrictions. This year, they can just celebrate, and that's why children are very happy.
Manufacturers say the green crackers emit 20 to 30% less pollutants, but that's still a concern for environmentalists, who say the crackers may be cleaner and quieter, but they still give off some harmful emissions.
Delhi already has a pollution baseline, of being one of the worst polluted cities of the world, and each year we see on the eve of Diwali or the night of Diwali, the air quality index reaches almost 20 to 30 times worse than the permissible limits.
Delhi's environment minister says preparations are underway to conduct cloud seeding after the holiday to clean up the air. The lights of Diwali are once again shining, but not without casting a spotlight on one of India's lingering health and environmental problems.
10-second trivia. What is the purpose of the ceremonial stomp performed by sumo wrestlers before a match? Scare opponents, drive away evil spirits, test balance, or impress judges? It's spooky season, so if you said drive away evil spirits, you are correct. Shiko, the dramatic foot stomping exercise, is a spiritual cleansing. But with top division sumos averaging around 400 pounds, it's also an impressive display of strength. For the first time in more than 30 years, the legendary Grand Sumo Tournament stepped outside of Japan straight into the hearts of Londoners. The event returned to London for the first time since 1991, marking just the second time ever that it's been held outside of Japan in the sport's 1,500-year history. Japan's top wrestlers drew crowds as they took in some of the city's most famous sights and posed for photos with new fans that quickly went viral. The sold-out tournament transformed London's Royal Albert Hall into a temple of sumo, complete with authentic soil and a san-doyo, or ring, even a Shinto shrine roof. Grand champion Hoshō Ryu ultimately claimed victory with a perfect 5-bout record. From one of Japan's most sacred traditions to a Tokyo-born football player who learned to kick on YouTube. This reminds me of the phrase, you have to see it to be it. The University of Hawaii's Kansei Matsuzawa taught himself how to kick by watching videos on YouTube. Now the 26-year-old, nicknamed the Tokyo Toe, just might be the best kicker in the country. He's a perfect 20-for-20 on field goals this season, hasn't missed an extra point, and last weekend he broke the school record for most consecutive field goals made. Our Patrick Snell got a chance to kick it with Kansei to hear more about his amazing journey.
It started with a kick, and Kansei Matsuzawa's life has never been the same since. Kansei nailed a 38-yarder as time expired to give the University of Hawaii a dramatic season-opening victory over Stanford. Rich reward for a young athlete who didn't even know how to kick or indeed speak English until he started watching YouTube videos.
In the beginning, when I was in Japan, I had no coaches, so I feel like I have to do it myself. So I use YouTube first. I was looking for NFL player on YouTube. I trying to like imitate like the best of the best. So T-Hawks kicker, Jason Myers, that was my model when I started kicking. I've never met him before, but he actually like texted me on Instagram after game winning field goal. And that was actually amazing.
Kansei was a standout soccer player as a teenager, but he failed an exam and didn't go to college in Japan. His passion, joy, and energy all gone. But everything changed after his parents offered their son a chance to visit the US, a Raiders-Rams NFL game that he attended, fueling his fire to one day return to America and pursue his dreams. It's no wonder that winning kick against Stanford was so special for both player and coach alike.
I really wanted to win that game. Visualization is really important. So, I was ready for game time field goal and a game winning field goal. So I think all the work off the field is showing up on the field right now.
I was like crying like a baby, but I just told him, man, your parents are here to see this. Like that was the coolest part for me, was seeing somebody who works so hard and overcome so many battles and so much adversity to get that moment. And there's nobody that deserves it more than this kid, because of the journey.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, a sweet surprise for an Iowa elementary school custodian. Mick Good has been working in education in one form or another for 68 years, first as a teacher and coach, now as one of two custodians for East Marshall Elementary in Laurel, Iowa. He's known to show up between 4 and 5 a.m. every day to vacuum classrooms, to clean up trash. Mr. Good is also beloved by the 300 students at the school. They love him so much, they threw him a big surprise party to celebrate his 86th birthday, and they planted his favorite tree, a Redmond American Linden, in his honor.
He would give you the shirt off his back if he could. He is just a very giving individual.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The final surprise, they got his favorite team, the New York Yankees, to send him a card. Mr. Good is well aware that he could retire, but he doesn't seem to want to. He says he just enjoys being around the school, the students, and the staff too much. Shout out to you, Mr. Good, and happy birthday. Now it's time for shout outs for you. Mr. Bowman at Sunset Ridge in Phoenix, Arizona, thank you for showing us some love on our CNN 10 Instagram page. And Mr. Sohn at Hudson Elementary, thank you for these exceedingly cool 3D printer lab projects that you sent. I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, so yes to dragons. And this too, this is forever. Go going in our permanent collection. Thank you so much. Tomorrow is Your Word Wednesday, so follow us at Koi Wire and at CNN10 on Instagram. Put your unique vocabulary word and definition in the comment section of our most recent post, and we're going to choose a winner to work into tomorrow's show. Throw your school name, city, state, and teacher if you like, so we can get you your shout out. Have a terrific Tuesday, everyone. I'll see you right back here tomorrow. I'm Koi Wire, and we are CNN 10.